This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to yet another edition of Backboard Basics, the wave of popularity for us to change the show to Dunk in the Trunk has seemed to subsided. I feel like mostly because of Nick. And so it appears as though we will roll with Backboard Basics going forward. Immediate thoughts on that, Nick?
Couldn't be more thrilled. Backboard Basics, much better than Dunk in the Trunk.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever be on your side with that. That's Nick Nepik at Nick Nepik on Twitter. I'm Kevin Hagelin. You can find me on Twitter at Oh Thank Kevin. Let me ask you this. Are you more excited about the shooting guard class? Probably not. The fact that it's not going to be called Dunk in the Trunk, or the fact that it looks like Mr. Carter might just be rolling back to Duke next year?
Probably the third. I mean, he hasn't declared
yet. No way, right?
No way. He's like a lock top 10 pick, but he's the only one.
Did you see what his parents said?
No.
Okay. This is exciting news right here. If you had to guess, which person do you think would have more sway on a child, a male child, in these scenarios?
His dad.
Okay, well, that is not the answer that I was hoping you would give.
If it was me, my mom.
Okay, there we go. So his dad was like, yeah, no, I think he'll continue to get better, and you got to look for some certainty. And so he's ready for him to move on. His mom, however, she is super in favor of staying in school. And he even told his mom, I'll still keep working for my degree if I go to the NBA. And she's like, not the same. I think that you will grow as a basketball player, and more importantly, grow as a man if you go back to Duke and play another year. I was like, hell yeah, Mama Carter, let's keep going with that.
I'm very much for the education of all Duke players.
Yeah, I don't care about that as much. I mean, like,
no, I mean, like, I really care about their education.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, me too. I was really excited that Grayson Allen got his degree or whatever. So that's something interesting to keep your eye out on because, like you said, I mean, there is no question that he is a consensus top 10 pick. And yet here we are. And when I saw that today, I just assumed it was the draft announcement. And then conspiracy theorists said that's why Duke lost a recruiting battle and E.J. Montgomery went ahead and committed to Kentucky because he knew Carter was coming back and not enough playing time. So, yeah, so that's the word is that's why he ended up recruiting. He ended up committing to Kentucky instead of Duke because he knew Carter was coming back, which kind of transitions into another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, and we'll get to the shooting guards, but don't worry, this is probably the weakest position class of the entire 2018 draft, so we got some time. Is the article that I saw you post on Twitter from The Ringer about Trayvon Duval, and it was really fascinating. And essentially, I mean, I'll let you flesh it out, but essentially the crux of it seemed like he had decided by January that he wasn't coming back because basically there was no spot for him to improve if he did come back.
Right. So the idea is that Duke has turned into like a pro...
A one-and-done factory,
a one-and-done factory, because as soon as Trey Jones committed, the younger brother of Tyus Jones, he automatically becomes the starter for next year. And, I guess not 100%, but, like, that's how it works at Duke.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cam Reddish, R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, Trey Jones are coming in to start and play one year for most likely the three of them 1 year. The other might, you know, play a couple. But as soon as that happened, Trayvon Duval knows, unless I just you know, blow away the rest of the season and the best player in the country and feel like coming back to school, I don't have a spot next year. And Gary Trent Jr. was included in that article. I think his situation's a little different because I think if he comes back, he probably does have a starting spot. But
because we have all, or Duke has all small forwards and
right,
a point guard.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. But yeah, it's like Trayvon Duval definitely needed to come back, in my opinion. As far as basketball goes, he was inconsistent. He doesn't shoot well. He gambles on defense. Like, he'll have to serve time in the G League. He'll have to cut his teeth in the G League. And the G League is a tough place to play. I mean, everybody's playing for their own benefit. There's agendas. You know, some guys want to win. Some want to play for the team. Most everyone wants to play for themselves. It's a tough place to grow. So if you're going to try to grow in basketball, college is the way to do it. But if you're going to a place like Duke, and most of the time Kentucky, although a little bit different this year, you're going to lose your spot to a freshman, just like you, you know, came in and you're the starter as a freshman. So that's what Trayvon Duval ran into. Even though he should have stayed in school, he's not, I wouldn't say vocally being forced out, although maybe he was, but it's a slight nudge out the door like, hey, we got this other top 10 kid. He's a five-star player. He's going to be our point guard. You can come back if you want, but you'll be with the second unit. And especially at a place like Duke where the bench is so short, Coach K has never really used a big bench. And so that even, you know, further diminishes your role if you want to be a reserve player.
Are you surprised at all then that, and I'm sorry in advance for throwing this school under the bus, that like more kids don't commit to New Mexico or whatever that are high end? Because there's been so many washout stories of four and five star prospects at Duke because of
that transfer.
Yeah. The transfer, the short bench, the one and done. And like, I don't buy that that's the only place you can go to get attention. You know, like, you can get whatever information you need on a player anywhere out in the world, regardless of what school they go to, if they're going to school in America, because the tape will be out there. I'm surprised that more five stars don't go dominate at like New Mexico or Delaware because they know they're going to get playing
or
time.
Even like, you know, in our own state,
Georgetown,
Texas A&M,
sure.
Texas, both great schools that get five star players that, you know, Texas has Mo Bamba or had Mo Bamba. They get a one and done guy, but that's often the you know, the anomaly, the rarity. Why guys don't do that more is an interesting question. I think the appeal of playing for Coach K probably holds a lot of water.
Sure.
And, you know, the whole, you know, John Calipari came out and said after Zion Williamson committed to Duke, like, oh, we don't try to sell these kids on that we'll take care of you the rest of your life. Like, that you're a part of this, you know, brotherhood. We tell them we'll set them up the best way we can for the NBA. So maybe there's something to that. And, you know, when you're Duke and you're one of the best programs in the country, you have some of the best facilities in the country, the greatest coach in the game.
The best arena.
Absolutely. And, you know, great fans. Like, you're nothing. You don't have, like, you know, half-hearted fans. Sometimes our arena's full, but you've got everything you could want as a college student. I think all of that holds some water, but it's an interesting question because you could go to Texas, for example. They also have great facilities, a really good coach,
and
a good city. And you would be the star. Mm. You'd be one of, you know, two five-star guys there. But you want to go to Duke and be one of six or seven five-star recruits. You know, I'm thinking,
like, if you're a McDonald's All-American, that should be the outlier for the team, right?
Right.
Not, hey, there's the rest of them over there, you know?
Like, I'm thinking about Duke's bench, and the one name I can think of off the top of my head is Bolden. He was a projected one and done.
Yeah.
And now he's probably going to get buried on that Duke bench. And, you know, guys like Chase Jeter, who transfers to Arizona, he was a five-star player, McDonald's All-American, and didn't get the playing time he wanted, didn't think he was going to get any more.
Yeah.
So he decides to leave. And it's not just a Duke problem, but, you know, that's what we see the most of, but it's an interesting thing to think about because you see guys like Mo Bamba going to a school where you're the guy and having a lot of success. Now, maybe you don't get the team success you would want, but there's opportunities at all these places.
How many of those players, I'm sorry to cut you off. How many of those players care about that?
What, care about being the guy?
No, care about the team success.
Let's see. I would say more than we think.
Okay.
I think a lot of these guys, you know, dream about playing in the tournament. You know, March Madness, you know, Final Four, hitting the game-winning shot. I think that matters to a good amount of them. Now, I would say that the ones that don't care really don't care. You know, the Ben Simmons of the world, yes. for example, he just wanted to play 3 months at LSU
yeah.
and go to the NBA. You know, he didn't want to be
it's
there.
Worked out
but
okay
I think,
for him.
But I think a lot of them really do care.
Okay. Now, one of the programs that you mentioned as like a potential good spot, and it's here in the state of Texas, is Texas A&M. So there's a couple of, I got like five pretty notable draft announcements that I wanted to go through. And let's start with DJ Hogue, who...
Not Hogue.
For everyone who keeps saying it's Hogue, it's not. It's Hogue. So I first saw this kid in high school when I was out on that beat, and he eventually...
He's from Plano, right?
Yeah, he went to Plano West.
Okay.
And so he hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer for Plano West to give them a state championship, their first ever boys basketball state championship. And so I was really expecting big things from him at A&M. And it's not just him. Like, you can throw Robert Williams into
right.
the bunch. There's been a whole bunch of, like, inconsistency and underperforming. But I have to admit, I was surprised that he's declaring after his junior year. Is this a situation where his spot is running out? Because he strikes me as a second rounder at best.
Yeah, I don't know what A&M's recruiting class looks like, but I wouldn't think...
Not super stacked.
Yeah, I wouldn't think he's getting pushed out. And I honestly don't think he's going to get drafted.
Okay.
I mean, he might be a second-round
sure.
pick. Like
but
second
at
round.
Best, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not going in the first round.
Okay.
And when you're picked in the second round, you know, you're not guaranteed. He might get a two-way contract, which is pretty good money. I mean, more money than you know any most college kids are making, at least legally. But
hey,
anyway.
A&M bought a sweet car for Eric Dickerson, and he didn't even go there, so we can afford things.
Yeah, but I maybe college just wasn't for him after, was it three? He played three
yeah.
seasons, right? After three seasons, you know what? I don't really like College Station. I want to be in a big city. I'm kind of tired of it. I've had the college experience. Maybe it's as simple as that, but as far as basketball goes, he's not you know, guaranteed anything. You know, he's not a guaranteed lottery pick. He's not a guaranteed draft pick, for that matter. And he decides to leave. I'm not going to knock him for that, for wanting to chase his dream, possibly get paid. But I don't know if it's the best decision basketball-wise for a guy like him.
All right. So this one makes a lot of sense. This person's stock really climbed throughout the season. It climbed in the tournament. But this still kind of strikes me, for whatever reason, as maybe a fringe first-rounder is... Jalen Brunson declaring for the NBA draft. And now I know you like Jalen
yeah.
Brunson a lot. Do you think he'll go in the first round? And what's the disconnect? Because he's an awesome college player. So what's the disconnect of why, like, there's no chance in hell he'll go in the top 10?
Right.
Why the difference?
Well, the biggest thing is just physical tools. You know, he's kind of small. He's not super long. He's not explosive athletic, you know,
yeah.
the thing that everyone wants in their point guard. But everything's there as far as production goes, and he's accomplished everything in college. Player of the year, national champion, best player on the best team, and so on and so forth. So the biggest thing is just he doesn't stand out when you look at him. I mean, he's not jumping out of the gym. He's not the fastest guy on the floor. He doesn't have the best handles, but he has an impact on winning that I think is really good. He never gets rattled. You know, that national championship game was never close, but in the beginning of the game, when it was a little back and forth, you know, Villanova wasn't playing great, and Brunson was the guy that was kind of steadying the ship, and even though he didn't have a great game, kind of kept Villanova on track. But he just doesn't get rattled. You know, I really like that about him, and I put a big value on that and how he affects the game as far as winning goes and his basketball IQ and all those things, but it's simply the physical attributes that he doesn't have that, you know, many of the top point guards will have, or the top point guards of today's league, when you look at them, they're physical freaks, athletic freaks, and he's not necessarily that.
You have a pick in the 20s. You picking up Brunson?
Oh, man. I guess it depends on who's still there, but I probably am, yeah. Oh. I think I would.
And then definitely an early second
yeah,
rounder.
Yeah, okay. If he's there, for sure.
All right, and now let's go to his teammate, Mikal Bridges, who also declared for the NBA draft. This is a different scenario in that he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. I think I might like him and you might like him more than others.
Yeah.
Hence why I say probably a top 10 pick. What's the holdup on Bridges then? Because outside of Bamba, I would argue he plays better defense than any other players in the top 10, 12, 14 mix. So why is he not a slam dunk top 10?
Maybe because he's kind of boring. Like, at least when you think about, he shoots threes, plays really good defense. Like, he's a 3-and-D guy. I think he has a really high floor just because that plugs in anywhere. You know, he's a safe pick.
And very little bust potential.
Right. People don't like safe. They want the guy that's going to lead you to the next championship and take over games. And I'm not sure Mikal Bridges ever turns into that, but he's always going to play good defense. He blocks shots. He shoots threes. You plug him in on any team, even the best teams in the league, and he could help them. And so I think that's why some people would be wary of taking him in the top 7, maybe even the top 10. But like you said, I really like him. You really like him. I would be okay with him at number 6 or 7. Probably not top 5, but he's definitely top 10 pick worthy.
You get to the number, let's just say 7 pick. And for whatever reason, Mikal Bridges is there, and so is Michael Porter, who I feel like is the opposite
right.
of Mikal Bridges
right,
in
yeah.
that he might have the lowest floor, but he also has an incredible ceiling.
I don't think that that hypothetical would happen. I'll say that.
Sure.
But
if it did?
Man, that's a tough question. I would take Michael Porter, I think, based on upside alone.
Okay. All right. Let's go over now to Kentucky, where we had a pair of declarations for the NBA draft this week. One more surprising than the other, just because I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, the discussion about, you know, John Calipari putting the hard sell on Kevin Knox
yeah.
to come back. Kind of sounds like a situation similar to Carter at Duke in terms of leading the next group of one-and-done guys. Everyone assumed Kevin Knox would be a one-and-done, but then all of a sudden there was this question, and now he is going to go ahead and be in the NBA draft. And he strikes me as someone who, like, I'm not going to say his stock plummeted or anything, but he had potential top 6-7 pick written on him. And now you feel like he's sliding into the end of the lottery.
Yeah, like late lottery, you know, 10 to 14, something like that. And Kevin Knox, you know, at the beginning of the college basketball season, he was like 6 in all the, you know, way too early
yeah.
mock drafts. And so not by any, I think other people playing really well, like Mikal Bridges, for example, vaulted him more than Kevin Knox playing poorly.
I think, but Carter too. Yeah.
Right, Wendell Carter is a good example of that. But Kevin Knox is pretty inconsistent, and I think that hurt him some. But when he's good, he's really good. And I think he's got some potential. He's, you know, he's a prototypical wing, but, you know.
Would you have advised him to go back then?
No, I don't think so.
Even knowing that it's not a Duval thing,
right.
They're not going to run out of a spot. Kentucky wanted him back.
But if you're a lottery pick, I think you take your money and you go.
Okay.
I mean, I guess Robert Williams could still be a lottery pick, but he's a good example. You know, he was probably a top 10 pick last year. Decides to go back, and now he might be outside the lottery. So when you have the opportunity to make that kind of money, I would definitely tell a guy to go and trust him to put in the work to be good enough to stick around and be worthy of where he was taken.
Now, the other player who declared for the NBA draft over the last week, last few days, is somebody who I think we've seen a lot more consistency from this year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
My guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know this is somebody that you like. What kind of, and I know we'll get a better sense for this as we get closer to the NBA draft, but early perspective, where could you see him going, and what is it about this player that you're like, all right, that's
so
your guy?
I think at worst, he's just outside the lottery. I think he's a lottery pick. But
would you be surprised if he went after Knox?
Yes, okay. I would. I'd have to look at it. I'll have to, you know, look and see how it shakes out. Right now, I'll say that he goes just above Kevin.
Okay.
I'd say they're pretty close.
Okay.
But, I mean, at very worst, everything goes, you know, not his way in pre-draft workouts. He's a middle first-round pick or just outside the lottery. But I really, you know, it kind of goes back to the Jalen Brunson thing. Now, they're very different players, but I like smart basketball IQE. That's not a word, but we'll make
it a word.
We can
make it a word, yeah.
If Dunk in the Trunk is nominated for a name of the podcast,
for the record,
basketball IQE can be a word.
All 4 of those words are words. Dunk in the Trunk. Those are all words.
But
none
I'm just
of them
saying,
are made up.
If we could be that ridiculous,
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
Basketball IQ-y can have a meaning.
Okay.
Anyways, I like him because he's smart. You know, I tend to fall in love with like long-armed point guards who can switch defensively that aren't very fast with the ball. Like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is that. Shake Milton here in Dallas is similar to him in that way. But he's long. He can get into the paint and kind of weave his way around, just finds open spots. Nice mid-range game. His shot is okay. It needs to get better. But I just like, you know, the impact he had on Kentucky's success. When they had their struggles and their ups and downs, Quade Green was starting a lot and sort of the main point guard. When John Calipari went to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they were much better. He kind of controlled the game a lot. I like, you know, Jalen Brunson, I mentioned that with him, kind of rights the ship for Villanova or did whenever they were struggling. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, same thing, you know, doesn't get too rattled, really knows where to be on the floor, just a smart player, knows how to play basketball, and that's why I really like him. I would be surprised if he goes outside the lottery, but he is most certainly worthy of a lottery pick.
All right. Any other draft declarations that I haphazardly skipped over that you wanted to discuss? I felt like those were some of the big ones this week.
I think that's all that I had written down. Unless we're forgetting one, that's all I got.
All right. So let's move on to the shooting guards then. Would you say this is the weakest position going into the draft?
Yes, I would definitely, let's see, I'd probably put bigs at the top, point guard second, forwards, cutting out the two different forwards, just forwards.
All right, so you go bigs, points, wings, shooting guard.
Yeah, two guards.
Whatever. All right. Yeah. All right, so who is leading the way for shooting guard? Now, you know my biased opinion. The person leading the way for shooting guard is not going to be on your list because it's Luka Doncic, because that's where I'm putting him alongside Dennis Smith Jr. when the Mavs draft him.
Well, actually, I had a change of heart today.
Oh!
Because
you saw how weak the shooting guard
right,
class was?
And I'm thinking through Mavs lenses here, just because that's the team we cover. But if he were in Dallas, he'd be a two guard or three. I mean, he would be off the ball. So for the sake of that thought, we're going to put him at the top of this list.
Woo!
And we've talked about him a lot. He distributes well. He's a smart player. His shooting is pretty good. He's the best player on a team of adults, and he's 19. He, you know, plays in the second best league in the world on the best team, and he's the best player. So, you know, people are cautious because he's a white European player and, you know, whatever. But I think he's the real deal, and I think he is certainly going to be a top three pick, possibly the number one pick, but I'd give that to DeAndre Ayton. But yeah, he is the top of this list, and we've talked about him a lot. If you have anything more to add on, because you are the Luka Doncic lover. I mean, I love him too, but I would say you love him more than I do.
Man, because I just think the fact that I'm a really big advocate of versatility as we move more and more towards positionless basketball. And I understand that some people are concerned, you said, not only with the white Euro, but the fact that he's not like particularly athletic white Euro.
Right.
And that really scares people. But I love the fact that he's 6'7", can run the point, but can also be effective from the two or the three without the ball in his
hand. And he rebounds. Like, that's important.
Absolutely. And it was Goran Dragic got an amazing story from Skin Wade, one of the broadcasters on the Dallas Mavericks broadcast. Said that word too many times. Is Dragic said he was worried about how him and Luka could play together at the national level.
Yeah.
Because he thought they were both ball dependent. And then it took 15 seconds for him to be like, oh, you don't need the ball at all, do you? And you can go ahead and still put in work. And so I'm a big advocate of that. Plus, I think if you have a young point guard already, I think it would be great for a team that wanted to go ahead and lock down their backcourt for the next decade, whether that be Dallas or whether that be any other team out there with a young point guard. I think you could pair him up with Luka at the two, and you're like, all right, let's go.
People ask me a lot early on, especially, you know, could Luka Doncic exist here because he's a point guard? And I pointed him to the summer all the time when he was playing for the national team. He played off the ball with Dragic, and he was really good. And he excelled in that role and you know, played well against top-quality talent in the Eurobasket. And so I think that's something that people are finally starting to come around to, that he could really excel in that way. And even if you need a big, like if you're a team that needs a center and he's there, I think it doesn't matter. You take him over, like even over, I wouldn't say over DeAndre Ayton. That's the one person I'd take over him. But if it's Mo Bamba or Luka Doncic, you take Luka Doncic. And I don't think it'll be that way.
What about Bagley?
Turn off the Duke nightstand light here. I think I take Doncic. I would take
wow.
Doncic over Bagley.
Okay. And another person who will shout out for him is Kristaps.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you've got a couple of all-stars shouting out for your abilities and not in a, you know, home country bias sort of way, I think that's pretty stellar. All right, going back then, does that mean that Trae Young now emerges as your top point guard instead of my guy?
No, I also had a change of heart there. Just watching more tape, Colin Sexton. It's Colin Sexton, Trae Young, Gilgeous Alexander, Jalen Brunson, and Trayvon Duval. Not that we're doing point guards, but that's the new top five.
Will you go ahead and admit the main reason that you move Sexton to the top is because he's got more swag than any player out there?
That is his best quality, and it's not close.
It's not close. All right, so we've got Luka Doncic running the show at the top of the shooting guard board. Interestingly enough, though, that's the versatility that I'm talking about, is before we reclassified him, he was the top point guard. Now he's the top shooting guard.
Right.
I think if you put him in the small forward category, he would fare pretty darn well there, too.
He's pretty versatile, and that's another thing he's great at. He switches defensively, can play a lot of spots. This is just becoming a Luka Doncic fan podcast.
Okay,
but it's true.
I'm saying, if you have the ability to be the top player drafted at three different positions, I'll fanboy out for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number two. Who's running number two on this?
Out of Miami, Lonnie Walker, freshman for the Hurricanes. He had an up-and-down year coming off a meniscus tear in his last year of high school. It took him a while to kind of overcome that, but he's a really good athlete, has good potential as a three-point shooter, and has a lot of potential defensively, especially physically. Like, he's quick enough, he can move laterally, and I really like when he is not only shooting, because that's what he kind of was his calling card in college, but when he's slashing to the basket, when he's making defenses, think about his ability to drive the basketball, kind of expands his offensive game. But his athleticism is really good, and he is a second on the list.
Defensive potential seems important here, because that is, like a lot of the prospects we've gone over, not necessarily at the top of the list of attributes as defensive potential. But I wanted to ask you something in terms of him playing for Miami. Is, you know, I said earlier, why don't the kids go to New Mexico or Delaware, and you shouted out Tech and A&M. I guess Tech and A&M are a little bit different in terms of, you still see some big-time teams there, but how much stock do you put in then, hey, you played in the ACC, or hey, you played in the Big 12, as opposed to, you know, some other conference?
I think that just makes their tape more valuable, because they're playing against better players. They're playing against, you know, other NBA caliber talent every night or every other night. And when you're playing it, you know, in a one bid league or like the Missouri Valley Conference at Loyola Chicago, your competition is not nearly as strong. So I think that part matters and makes it easier to watch any game they played. And if they go off for 35 in the ACC, it holds a little more water than going off for 35 in the Missouri Valley against, I don't know, Bradley or something like that.
All right, let's go to, so we've got Luka Doncic, we've got Lonnie Walker at number two from Miami. Who is popping up at number three on the list?
Let me preface this by saying I do not think he should come out, but I would not be surprised at all if he does, and he's a just outside the lottery pick, Zaire Smith at Texas Tech.
Yeah, you have not been the biggest proponent of him entering the draft, have you?
I like him a lot, but I think he would benefit greatly from coming back to school. Just that's all it is.
All right, what parts of his game do you think that he could really take to the next level if he did go back?
He needs to be a way better creator offensively. He needs to shoot a little bit better. And, I mean, just grow as a basketball player. He plays really hard, so he's got the effort, And that's something you never want to have to teach a young player because it often doesn't work out. If they don't have the effort, it doesn't usually work. But he has the effort. He is a freak athlete. Probably the best dunker in this class.
Sure.
I mean, he can basically fly. Like, if Buzz Lightyear says that he can fly, Zaire Smith can also fly.
How much of your anti-Zaire Smith sentiment is based around the fact that an H comes after the Z in his name?
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Too many consonants at the beginning?
It doesn't. It does bother me, but not because of the consonants, just because it looks weird. Z-H. You don't see that often.
Man, take that, Zaire Smith's parents.
Is he a local?
He went to Garland Lakeview.
That's right.
And like I said before, fun fact, Lakeview Centennial, about 3 minutes away from my house. So I'm going to try to put
you and Zaire Smith are basically neighbors.
Yeah, and our athleticism is really similar.
I believe it.
You should not. All right, so do you think he's going to come out then?
Oh, if I had to bet,
because he feels like a toss-up.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I would say yes, just because when you see your name in the lottery, you know, you can't pass that up most of the time. But I would say yes. But not by my confidence is not by a large margin over going back.
We can maybe dive into this more in depth on another podcast, but just curious, and we'll go with the short versions now. If that's you, is lottery the breaking point? Like, if they say, all right, Nick, you're going to get drafted 21, as opposed to, hey, you're going to go 12. Like, what would be your dividing point? Are you a first rounder, you're leaving, or do you need to be in the lottery to at least think about it?
I feel like I would be unique in the fact that I would really enjoy playing in college, depending on where I played.
Okay.
But for me, you know, where am I at financially? Like, do I really need the money? Do my parents really need the money?
You don't really need the money, but you're not well off.
Okay. Man, if I was a for sure, like I had NBA people tell me there's no chance you fall to the first round, I probably go.
Okay. Fascinating. Like I said, we might flesh this out in another edition. All right. So we've got the top three shooting guards on the board. Who are we putting at number four?
Number four on this list, Raleigh Alkins from Arizona.
Okay. Now that's somebody who's had a fascinating year over there at Arizona. Lots of fun things happening at Arizona.
Right.
All right, so what is the breakdown for him?
So he wasn't great this year in the box score. We talked a lot about Jaren Jackson Jr. a couple of weeks ago. Like, his production wasn't exactly what you'd want to see out of a potential top five pick. But Raleigh Alkins, his production wasn't great either. Now, a lot of that's due to how Arizona played. DeAndre Ayton, Dusan Ristich, two big men. Then they had another go-to guy in Alonzo Trier. So there was a lot around him that took shots away from him, but he's got the body to be an NBA player. He's dealt with some injuries. He had a foot injury is what kept him out of the start of the season, and coming back from that, his conditioning, you know, wasn't 100%. So he'll have a chance to prove that in pre-draft workouts, but his body is ready to go. You know, this is what I said about Zaire Smith too, but he plays extremely hard. Just gives it all while he's on the floor. He needs to shoot more consistently from deep to find a spot. You know, that's the way the NBA is going. So these guys that aren't super consistent shooters often need to, you know, do that to really glue in the NBA. But his willingness to play hard, his NBA strength, I think will benefit him a lot. But if he wants to stick somewhere, he's going to need to shoot it better.
Well, he might not have to totally worry about that, because have you seen Raleigh Alkins' other business venture?
I have not.
He has, in the last couple of days, launched his own clothing line called Savage Life.
You seem
unimpressed by that name, but I know how sometimes awesome
Savage
names
Life
go over your head.
Is it like just t-shirts and hats, or is it all kinds of things?
I think it's going to be all kinds of clothing, man. He's an entrepreneur.
Good for him, I guess.
Good what are you him. Laughing, you guess? All right.
I mean, I could go make a t-shirt.
Whoa! All right. So Raleigh Alkins, get better at shooting, and Nick thinks that your business is dumb. So at number five, I'm going to guess that you pseudo kind of maybe adjusted someone's position a little bit so you can make sure to get Grayson Allen on the list.
No, I did not.
Okay. But you could see how I would think. He'd be like, he's definitely a shooting guard. I'm putting him at five.
Grayson Allen's going to be a Maverick, by the way, just saying.
We'll get to that in a minute. I saw your mock draft.
Kyrie Thomas from Creighton is number five, and he hasn't declared
yet.
That's
somebody who I think could play the point as well.
He became more of a ball handler for Creighton as the season went on, but he's definitely his primary spot would be a two guard. I like his defense a bunch, and that's sort of what, you know, is his calling card. We'll keep him on the floor early on in his NBA career, is playing defense, coming in and shutting guys down. He's a good jump shooter, but he's not a creator, you know, off the dribble. I think that's what would take the ball out of his hands. You know, you mentioned he could play some point as well, but he's not a creator offensively. And so I think that hurts him when he's on the ball, but shoots a good jump shot, plays good defense, 3-and-D potential, which, you know, every team needs. Talked about that with Mikal Bridges. Same thing for Kyrie Thomas, you know, and that's why he rounds out this list. Plays good defense and shoots the ball well. And both of those things can find you a spot in the NBA.
And did you see Kyrie Thomas has declared for the draft?
Oh, he has.
But he said he's not going to hire an agent.
That's what it was. So he declared but did not hire it. So it's not official, I guess.
All right. And then in terms of looking at defensive potential, is it Lonnie Walker and Kyrie Thomas that lead the group for you at shooting guard?
Probably. Yeah, I would say Thomas for sure. Lonnie Walker has the potential. Zaire Smith, I think all five of them have good defensive potential. Like none of them make me think, ooh, gonna have to have somebody behind him to help him out. Like they've got the athleticism and seem like they have the attitude to play defense.
All right, so now we've got a couple of other things coming up next month. In May is you have the draft lottery, and then almost at the exact same time, you've got the combine. So the draft lottery, May 15th. I know the combine is in mid-May. Are there any particular players, combine-wise, Zaire Smith seems to immediately jump to mind, that you think could greatly improve their stock strictly at the combine?
I think Zaire Smith could. I would say Robert Williams could probably help himself a little bit.
From A&M, yeah.
Really anything, you know, guys like him can do to just talk to scouts and then more than that, you know, show the effort. Because Robert Williams was a guy when he, and you can speak to this, when he was locked in, he was awesome for A&M.
Yep. I mean,
blocking shots, dunking the ball. And then when he wasn't, you kind of forgot he was on the floor. And so I think anyone that, you know, struggled with effort at times can really show that they're ready to go all in. I think Miles Bridges could put himself back on the map. People have kind of forgotten about him. He's still a lottery pick talent, in my opinion. I think he could help himself as well. But like you said, Zaire Smith could really showcase that athleticism and help himself and either, you know, say, okay, solidify himself as a potential lottery pick and stay, or decide that going back is the best thing for him.
So in terms of the lottery, you've got the Suns with the worst record, then Memphis, then Dallas and Atlanta, and pending the result of tonight's game, there's a good chance Orlando as well.
Update, as we are recording this, Orlando won the game.
Yeah, baby! So Orlando just screwed themselves, and so, well, I don't know, Phil. Actually, you know what? I do know that. I bet they think that they screwed themselves, right? Why do you win that game?
They'll be for sure fifth now, right?
Yeah. And so that means that Dallas and Atlanta, they will have essentially, I think Dallas might have like a 0.1% more ping pong balls going into the draft lottery. But that means Phoenix is guaranteed to go no lower than fourth. Memphis is guaranteed to have at least a top five pick. And then you've got Dallas and Atlanta, who they could slide down to six or so.
Well, depending on where they draw or whatever, however that works.
Exactly. And I think Dallas might get the advantage on that. And so, but we'll double check. All right. So I know that you put out a mock draft specifically for the Mavericks, but real quick, if you're looking at Phoenix and you're looking at Memphis, let's say everything falls into place. 1, 2. Phoenix a no-brainer to take Ayton?
Yeah, Phoenix, Ayton, Memphis, Doncic.
Okay, So then you get to number three, just going off projections. Obviously, we will update this and go far more in depth after May 15th once the draft lottery goes down and Orlando is still sad about winning tonight. Is what do you think that the Mavericks do at number three? I know you like Jaren Jackson.
I do like Jaren Jackson, and I think they like him too, but I would assume, and I would pick if it were my pick, that they take Marvin Bagley at three.
All right. Now, I want to believe that you're neutral about everything. So I'm going to give you the opportunity because the Mavericks have a few picks in this. So I feel like on the one hand, you sold out for a Duke player. But, you know, surely that's a one-off thing. And you wouldn't make the very next pick a Duke player as well. So who do you have the Mavericks taking early in the second round?
So if you think back to the tournament,
I can
barely remember. I picked Wichita State to go to the Final Four because a year ago I said
they'd
be in the
final. What bracket was that in of the tournament again? Was that the everyone knows Villanova's going to win except for Nick bracket?
That part is irrelevant.
Okay.
The point is, a year ago I said Wichita State would be in the Final Four.
Okay.
A few months ago I said Grayson Allen would be a Dallas Maverick.
Oh, man, you're ride or die, aren't
you? And so
you?
At this point they are taking Grayson Allen early in the second round. Now, I will say, part of it is because I think he would help this Mavericks team. He can shoot the ball. He plays with energy. He's a smart player.
He's got an edge.
He's got edge. And it's all on the floor. Like, he's not punching people in public or anything. Like, he plays
he's
a little
super boring.
He
off
plays
the
a
floor.
Little dirty. Like, sometimes that's a good thing.
Wow.
Right?
What a don't get me in on this. No. Right? I approve of sportsmanship. Thank you.
Well, anyway, Grayson Allen, they'll take early in the second round.
All right, and then the Mavericks, they got a pick towards the end of the second round. We'll throw some local flavor out there for our Metroplex listeners. Who you got them taking at the end of the second?
Guy out of UTA, Kevin Hervey, the wing for UTA, 6'9", good offensive player, good wing body, you know, plays a position of need for the Mavericks. They threw out guys like Kyle Collinsworth and Jalen Jones behind Harrison Barnes. And they found something in Doug McDermott, I think, you know, kind of that wing shooter role. But having depth is never a bad thing. And so I think Kevin Hervey, his, you know, offensive potential, he's at the top of like every leaderboard there is at UTA. And I think that benefits, you know, him only because people look at quick stats and things like that. But offensively, I think Kevin Hervey does enough. He can sneak into the later part of the draft, you know, in the second round, and the Mavericks, you know, pick a local guy, and maybe he gets a two-way contract at that point. But I think Kevin Hervey would be there, would be a good choice at, I guess, what is now 54 if they pick third. Like, if we're going in that,
yeah,
that order, to be the 54th pick.
Were you disappointed that somebody like Javon Delorier was not made available for the draft so you could go ahead and finish off your clean Duke sweep
I
at
was
the end
not.
Of the second round?
No, I,
all right, just
I
checking.
Was not.
So you got Hervey, Grayson Allen, and then Bagley as the potential Mavericks draft picks. Like we said, in about a month, once the draft lottery goes down, we'll update that. But yeah, pretty stunning news that Orlando pulls out the win over Washington. And so now Orlando will have the fifth most ping pong balls in the upcoming draft lottery. All right, let's circle it out, finish up by going back to the shooting guards. Got Luka Doncic at number one, Lonnie Walker from Miami at number two, Zaire Smith from Texas Tech at number three, Raleigh Alkins in his dope clothing line at number
Savage
four.
Savage Life.
Yeah. And then number five, Kyrie Thomas. If you looked at it, and we did this with the point guards a few weeks back, who's got the biggest bust potential in the mix of those top five?
I think if he decides to stay, it's Zaire Smith, just because I really don't think he's ready for the pro game. Like, we fall in love with athleticism and like big dunks and, you know, being able to jump out of the building, and he can do that, but there's so many other areas of his game that he doesn't really do a lot for me. Like, every guy in the G League can dunk the basketball. Like, almost everyone is athletic now. You've got to be able to do a little more. And so I think Zaire Smith, you know, if he comes out too early, he's not ready. I think that's the biggest bust potential.
All right. On the flip side, let's go ahead and take Luka out of the mix. Who's got the most potential of this group? Does it go back to Zaire? Would it be Kyrie? I'm sorry. Who do you think is the safest pick? Okay. And then we'll get to potential.
I'll say Kyrie Thomas. He plays defense.
Safest pick.
Plays defense and shoots threes. Like the Mikal Bridges, no disrespect to Kyrie Thomas, but Mikal Bridges light, you know, shoots threes, plays defense. You know, not as high of a clip as Mikal Bridges, but when you do that, you can find a place and you can help a high number of teams. And so even if, for example, if he didn't find success with the team that drafted him, somebody needs a guy that'll play defense and that will shoot threes well. And Kyrie Thomas does both those things.
All right, we'll do the same thing. Again, take out Luka. If I told you that Lonnie Walker, Zaire Smith, Raleigh Alkins, or Kyrie Thomas, one of them becomes a superstar and perpetual all-star, it is?
Probably Zaire Smith.
Woo! So he's the Michael Porter of this position
here,
class.
When you're super athletic and you're long and have that wing-type body that so many players have now that are near in the first round, you can either be awesome or you can go down to the G League with a guy with, 100 other guys that are exactly like you. Like, what do you do between the time you get drafted and when you start the season? And then what do you do once you start playing? Like, thinking to the Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr. was awesome down the stretch. Like, he really grew this season. So can you get picked, find a spot on the team and then grow? And then, build your game, or do you just kind of stay the same? And so if Zaire Smith, if he decides to stay in the draft, if he gets drafted, uses his athleticism, but also learns to become a creator and a shooter, then he could definitely be the best shooting guard in this class.
All right, so I think that closes the book on our initial investigation into the shooting guards. So for Nick Nepik, by the way, follow him on Twitter at Nick Nepik. You can find me, Kevin Hagland, at Oh Thank Kevin on Twitter. Shameless plug alert, KNC Masterpiece at KNC 105.3 is my Metroplex-based show. You can hear on 105.3 The Fan, 7 to 11 Central. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app. Anything else you want to add, Nick?
That's all I got.
All right, well then, coming up next, we'll probably have better position groups because surely it has to get better. And until the next edition of Backboard Basics, I got nothing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.